has joined. Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Malka, are you the only one?
Anna.
Anna.
Did I sound like Malka?
Well, I have difficulty telling the two of you apart sometimes. So it's my issue, not yours. No, you really don't sound like her. But when you're speaking quietly and softly, and she is, it's hard for me to tell.
Okay. Well, I'll start saying my name when you come. Okay. This is hard.
I'm sorry.
They're doctor for us, so I wasn't able to make it.
I missed you this afternoon by a minute, so I was later than the 10 minutes, but I apologize.
We had eye doctors in Tony's primary. It's all week. He sees all these follow-up appointments, so
right.
I'm missing quite a few classes this week.
I understand. You were going to send a text with the doctor's reports. I never got that. Which is understandable, but
well, they're now saying it's now that they definitely know it's not cancer. They're saying an autoimmune disease, and so there's a treatment. And I suppose the last doctor we see on Thursday will be the one to tell us that. So
okay, well, that's better news than other things.
Oh,
so
yeah, I think so. That it was unmerited favor, the good doctors, and I think the prednisone helped too. Which is still creation, you know.
Yeah, it is. Malka, are you on? I'm hearing some other voices, but very quietly, like it's not on here, but
right.
Who knows?
I'm still here.
Oh, well, then we can get started. I didn't know you were still here. I didn't know you were here.
Yes, I'm here and there and everywhere.
I thought I had heard you, and then Hannah said it was her. So, anyway.
Well, I was the first one because I got the moderator message, but I didn't hear Malka come on. So, anyway,
well,
we're here.
We're all here, so that's a good sign. So let us begin. We're in section 25 of the Parsha Vayera from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We're going to be starting with Pasuk 346. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha b'rechu ishkinte bitkilu urkimu utkilu utkilu urkimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe. Le'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah. Mitzvah, la sok Torah, mitzvah. Vayehino amadodai Elohino. Aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei, aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei.
No, excuse me.
Yes. Yes, Hannah.
I don't mind repeating, but we did, we were on 349. Did you say 346? Because I have that dated February the 2nd, and then the 347 was February the 3rd.
Well, what I did was take a look at the, let me, Let me double check something. No, I don't show that. So it's up to you. If you want us to start at 3:49, we can.
Well, ask Malka's opinion. I don't know. Maybe she missed some of those.
Malka, are you there? I know you're there, but are you?
I didn't take any notes. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I guess if you read the portion, I might remember.
Well,
go ahead and do what you were going to do. I don't mind listening to it again. It's just I have definitions all over the page. You know, I have notes on it, and I know I didn't do that by myself. So
I understand.
But I don't mind. You know, this with Abraham's seeing Sarah as picture of the
right.
Shekinah and the code word, we can hear it often. I mean, I don't mind any repetition.
All right. Well, let's repeat 3:46 because that way the recording will show.
Okay.
Wayavo Elohim El Avimelech Wigomer. Puki kuchabarihu atalagabaihu tirashiaya imadikti vayavo elokim el bilam wayavo elokim el lavan el hahu mimana shalicha veit bakta alaihu hawa Begin to cool who God of day Shalihuta not lay Shimada Umisitra Dadina Kajan Lialda Yavo Elohim Elavimelech Bahalom Halaila Wayomer Lohincha Met al Haisha Yasher Lakahta with Gomer. But Elohim came to Avimelech. He asked, could it be that the Holy One, blessed be He, visits the wicked as it is written? And Elohim came to Bilam, and Elohim came to Levan. And he replies, this was only a governor, a messenger who was in charge over them. As every nation has a celestial governor, when angels complete their missions, which they receive from Hashem, they are called by the holy name Elohim, because they represented the aspect of judgment, and the name Elohim is an indication of judgment. And this is why it is written that Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man for the woman which you have taken, referring only to the angel that governs his nation and not to the Holy One, blessed be He. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. When one reads Elohim in the Torah, we need to ask, is it with a large E or not? A large E indicates Hashem is at the level of Givurah and not Chesed. And yes, Hannah, you are right. We have done this before. But as we said, it's not a bad thing to repeat it. So questions, comments, or thoughts? And since we've done it before, let's move on to 3:47. issue is on 346, and we discussed it a little bit before, is we have this word Elohim, and we never really know if it's referring to Hashem at the level of judgment, or it's referring to his messenger. And does it really make a difference which one it is? And for some people, it makes a very significant difference. But for others, they realize that the messenger is going to do exactly what he's been told to do. So if he's speaking or if he's doing, this is what Hashem, at the level of Elohim, wants him to do. Verse 347. Rabbi Shimon Patach, we amar sefad emet we gomer. Sefad emet tikon le'ad da Avraham bekol miloi bekad meita usofa awo be'emet we'ad argiya l'shon shaker da Avimelech.
Has joined.
Rabbi Shimon opened the discourse with the verse, the language of truth shall be established forever. This refers to Abraham, whose words were always truthful. The phrase, but a lying tongue is but for a moment, however, refers to Abimelech. And this verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. And it is also a verse that we did last time, that for whatever reason I didn't post the recording. So the way of understanding this is that is extending the code word Abraham to also be connected to truth. And Abimelech extending him to the concept of telling untruths. So these are really just extensions of code words now. Verse 248,
actually. Da'amar begin shakinta, da'hawabima, desara achoti, ivi Avraham, behachmata avad.
Of Abraham it is written, and Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. This is similar to what he said in Egypt when he said to the Shekinah that accompanied Sarah, she is my sister. So twice Abraham said, she is my sister, and referred to the Shekhinah when he said it. And Abraham did everything with wisdom. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The term sister refers to Malchut, which is a sister to Chesed, which is Abraham. And Abraham is a code word to Chesed. This is why Abraham says the Shekhinah is his sister. He was not referring to Sarah. Questions, comments, or thoughts? This is the last verse that we did together. So we now have a clearer understanding of why Abraham would say she is my sister twice in two different circumstances. Because we need to realize that the Torah, while it's telling us stories, it's really describing spiritual events and spiritual levels of consciousness. So anytime you see the word Abraham, you're seeing a level of chesed. And every part of the stories of Abraham is referring to the process of the development of Chesed as it grows from the reduced form, the smallness, to the completed form, the largeness, cot, goat, and I forget what the other word is in Hebrew. Katnut means smallness. And whenever you see the word Avimelech, or you're seeing Sarah, these are also code words that are connected to the same idea of the process of Chesed growing from its initial point of development to becoming a completed structure of 10 sephirot each. Verse 349. Mem tet begin di Avraham mesitra di aminaihu amarachoti iwe raza keda. Achoti rayati yonati tamati uyalda Avraham kara la tadir. Achoti begin de it dabak bahada widla it adun da min da leal min. The translation he asks, why is the Shekhinah called sister? And he responds, because Abraham is related to the right side. He said, she is my sister. And the secret corresponds to what is written, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. A verse from Shir HaShirim. And Abraham always called her my sister because he cleaved to her and they were never separated. And this verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think since Abraham saw what he saw, I think because of something being in the physical being a picture of a spiritual truth, Sarah must have been a pretty spectacular woman.
Well, there's no question of that. But you're not, it's not just the physical exterior beauty that you're referring to. She was truly a spectacular soul. And we learn that from the various midrashim of like the candles that would burn from Shabbat to Shabbat. I know a lot of people, especially when they begin to study Kabbalah and they start to light candles for Shabbat, or they light the Hanukkah candles. And they literally see differences in how long the candles last. And they question, why is it happening? What's different about this candle that it's lasting longer than this other candle? And it's really because of the holiness of the intent when you lit that candle. And that's really what this is describing in this verse. Sarah was Abraham's sister, meaning that Sarah was the Shekhinah, and he was constantly connected to her. Because as Chesed, as this sharing concept of loving kindness, He was constantly providing that light and channeling the upper lights directly to her, to Malchut. And, you know, we see the stories, we hear the stories, we listen to the stories, just like we were did as when we were children. But they're just stories. They're much more than stories. And that's really what this verse is trying to open up to us, that they're not stories, that they're Sephirot, and how are they relating to each other? Would anybody like to make additional comments?
That was very evident with even my, with in Mishpatim, you know, and seeing the reincarnation.
Yes.
Process, you know, so I think we're getting we've had other instances too with Abraham and each one of the patriarchs and where they fit into the Sephirot, to the Tree of Life. So it's just, I don't think we had, this was a new code word for us with Sister and Shekinah and Sarah, you know, an additional one. And then, you know, even with Amimelech and, I mean, every code word we can get and remember only helps us when we're reading on our own or studying on our own. You know, those things come to mind. We did the same thing with the direction north not long ago. You know, all these codes. So part of the process, growth and study, or study and growth.
And to recognize that. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Did, I have a question. Did Sarah ever cry out to Hashem for a child? Why I asked that question, because if Sarah was Abraham's sister and he knew that she was his half sister, I assume they had the same father, different mother.
Right.
Okay. So did he ever say they were married, or they just complimented each other, because they each had their own tent? And that said, is that when Sarah laughed that she was going to have a child because they were up in age, that was just like the first time they had sexual intercourse, or I, you know, that, I don't know why that popped in my mind, but you know, normally in our physical.
Go ahead, finish.
Normally in our physical world and times, even way back, early times, a brother did not sleep with his sister. Not to say that doesn't go on, because it does, but it's looked upon as not.
Not a good thing.
Yes. So that's where my thoughts are going.
Okay. Sarah and Abraham were married, because in biblical times, the early biblical times, not the later biblical times, but starting with Cain and Abel, the woman that you were supposed to marry was close to you in a family unit. So it would be very common for brother and sister to marry, not direct brother and sister where the father and the mother were the same, but cousins, mm-hmm. or step brother and sister. it would be common for that to be the mate, to be drawn together, because there was very little ability to move far distances to find who your soulmate is, to find who you are supposed to marry. Whereas in our generation, you hop on a plane before the COVID, you hopped on a plane and you went traveling to Morocco or Buenos Aires or Tokyo. And, you know, 10, 12, 15 hours later, you're in a place and you go to a bar and you meet someone, and that's the one you're supposed to meet. But you have to cross a whole ocean to do it. And that whole idea of distance being shortened by the speed of our transportation, why do airplanes develop? Why is that speed happening? Why are things speeding up? All of these questions that people ask, and just say, some people will just answer, well, that's the way it is. But others will answer, the Kabbalists answer, the purpose of that is so that you can meet the people you're supposed to meet and establish your tikkuns with them and facilitate your tikkun with them. But in the times of Abraham and Sarah, it was very common for the half-sisters and brothers or first cousins to marry. And the reason being that there was not an easy way to transfer, to move around the planet to find the person you were supposed to be with. So they were married. They were married in the ages of 20. They were not, they were intimate. But there's a midrash that says that they were a tumtum, which means that she didn't have a uterus. And the same midrash or a different midrash says that Abraham was also tumtum. He was not capable of having children. But then he had a child with Hagar, Ishmael. But was that his child if he was tum-tum? There's a whole discussion within the commentaries on the Midrashim about that. But essentially, Sarah was 90 years old, and then she's told she's going to have a child, and she laughed. And what she was really laughing is with that her husband was old, not her.
Right.
She knew she wasn't going to have a child. She learned that 50 years ago. But she never got a period. She didn't have a womb. She didn't have ovaries. And then,
do you think that's why Hagar gave Hagar to Abraham, knowing that she didn't have the female organs? Okay.
That's what the story was. And then Hagar belittles her as a woman because she can't have children.
Mm-hmm.
And Hagar is the servant, but she's lording it over the matron. And Sarah says, throw this woman out of here with her child. And God says, do what Sarah says.
So you think that Abraham knew that Sarah didn't have her female organs to produce a child? Or is that still?
If you do not have a womb, you do not have the ability to have a period.
Right.
So, and there are people, unfortunately, who are born in that way, because that's the tikkun that they have. It's very rare, but just as there are children born as hermaphrodites as well, where the organs are the same, but the doctors for the last 200 years roughly, the doctors said that's not right. We only have two sexes, and they operated on the babies so that they never knew.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, for most of that time, they didn't even tell the parents.
So you think that? So going back to Adam, you think he had both organs, female and male?
Adam, no.
He had just male organs?
Adam had male organs, and Chava had female organs.
He made that Hashem made them, and then they took the rib from the rib or flesh from
no,
Adam.
No. Hashem made Adam and Eve back to back.
Okay.
But they were never meant to stay back to back. They were meant to turn around. That's why Adam had access to LL prior to that taking place with Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all the Midrashim about LL that takes place before Eve is pulled out of Adam's inside. The word rib is a code word because its gematria is 50, connecting to Bina.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam was made back to back because Adam was Zerantin. Eve was both Bina and Malchut. And that was all connected within the one body. But they were, you know, a lot of different souls, 600,000 different soul pairs were all in Adam. And it's confusing because we think in terms of today and not recognizing what's truly going on. Not recognizing that things change from one generation to the next. The male and the female soulmates are one soul, and Hashem splits them. But in my opinion, he splits them at different places within the context of the one soul. So he leaves some forms of female with the male and some forms of male with the female, and that inner relationship changes with each generation. That's my opinion.
So where is this male and female parts coming into one soul? Let me rephrase that. The genitals of that you spoke of about the doctors decide which genitals to remove when a baby is born with male and female.
So, it would decide which ones they felt was the easiest operation.
Why is that happening with a soul? Why is that happening when
it's the tikkun of the soul? It's the tikkun of the soul. The Talmud speaks, you know, 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, the Talmud describes these hermaphrodites. He describes seven different sexes. There's seven words in the Talmud that describe sexes, and there's lots of discussion as to which of the sexes can eat the different sacrifices, and where they can eat those sacrifices. If they're children of the Kohen, they can eat certain ones. But if they're not a particular sex description, whatever the word is, it will, you know, they can eat in certain locations in the temple, but not in other locations. And there's all of this discussion that today people don't even try and understand. They just read it. But it's really describing these seven different groups of souls and how they relate to each other. And a lot of this information has been lost. Doesn't mean that it's lost forever. It just means when we need that information to happen again, it'll come into somebody's mind, some righteous tzaddik's mind, and he'll publicize it to who has to have that information. And that's happened over the centuries, that we read about it in some of their writings.
So with the cocoon, if they're born with both genitals and one is removed by the hands of man, is their cocoon completed, whichever genitals are removed? That means they're just born, they completed their genitals, they completed their cocoon?
The whole lifetime is a cocoon, just as your whole lifetime is a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, part of their cocoon was to have that physical change.
Well, some souls have just a spark left to complete their cocoon. And some will come into a soul that has a very short span of life. It'd be babies that are born, they live for about a week, and they pass for whatever reason. So that cocoon of that soul that was left to complete has been completed. So they
That's correct.
And that's why I was asking about the genitals being removed. They maybe came into that soul for that purpose only, to complete that, let's say, one spark, so that they could complete it.
It's always relative to the soul involved.
Yeah, it could be a nefesh or a ruach or a neshama or chaya, you know.
All three levels. Could be any one of the three levels. Although normally you would not think it was a nefesh level, because many people have completed their nefesh level. So the nefesh that's in this world is part of a convert, and that whole different situation. Look, reincarnation is a very complex subject.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings simplify it because they don't understand it. And they simplify it by saying there's a nefesh, because there's 613 parts of the nefesh. And in any given night, when that nefesh leaves the body and goes upstairs, it may have completed its tikkun. So the tikkun of the spleen was completed, and so it's now replaced with another nefesh spleen part. Because the completed tikkun, the completed nefesh spleen, doesn't have to come back. And it's a very complex discussion. Which is why we went through 200 hours of recordings on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we only just touched the subject. But we are out of time.
I think Connor had a question.
Well, it wasn't a question. It just dawned on me that, you know, when Hashem gave the hay to each from his name to each of them, and they were able to have a child, that was the first time I sort of made a connection to what you just said. It was their tikkun at night, their soul went up and they got a new part.
That's exactly correct.
Right. Okay.
You all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
And our seven late class will be with about the Ari and Mishpatim, so I hope you'll join us. I hope I'll stay up. You all have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you.